All right, so welcome to my podcast on the adventures of dating in your 30s while trying to be sober. As you can tell, it's from the tone of my voice, it's a lot of fun. So I'm gonna pretty much tell about some of the adventures or escapades, however you want to word it, that I've had while I'm driving, because that's apparently the only time I have to talk about this stuff. A couple years ago, a couple months ago, I started a blog. I had been talking about doing it for a while, but I actually went and sat down and like typed up, and I was like, I actually think this is all right. I'm gonna post it. And I did, and I wrote two posts, and they're good. People thought it was funny, because my life's funny. Huh. And I'd be like, yeah. All right, I'm gonna write another one. I haven't written another one in probably like 4 or 5 months. I've attempted. I think I have a paragraph and a half, but I don't have the time to sit and type out everything that I want to say. And plus, when I type, I then like overanalyze what I'm saying. Whereas, well, me talking out loud, I have to just deal with the shit that's coming out. This word vomit. It's one of my favorite things, word vomit, where you just, it's coming out and it's not stopping. And sometimes there's good nuggets of goodness in that word vomit, and then other times it's just shit. But we're going to see what happens with this, and it could be an epic fail. I could start this and do it on a weekly basis, or maybe do like two, and then just like dip out and let it go. So anyway, I was thinking about what I want to talk about, and if there's stuff I want to go back over for those of you that haven't read my blog, because, you know, it's not like, oh my god, everybody read my blog, blah blah blah. It's more like, this is funny, and we talk about dating and relationships, and I think you'd appreciate this. And then I send it to them, and then they like text me back, and they're like, this is fucking funny. I'm sorry. No one's actually said I'm sorry. But, people get it and they think it's funny. It's something that everybody does. It doesn't matter. Well, everybody over a certain age experiences dating and going out and meeting people. Especially as you get older, it gets more complicated. You know, you have to find different avenues of meeting people. And in this day and age, it's a lot of online dating. And, you know, I talk to people and I'm like, yeah, it's weird, but, you know, people say like, oh, you meet somebody in the food store. No. Because I know what I was like when I was out drinking and at a bar, and if someone came up to me and started talking to me, like, that's not how you segue into a conversation. That creeps me out. There has to be like a reason where we're like looking, watching the TV, and you're like, that's really funny. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Yeah, my name's Joe. Oh, I'm married. What's up? And I never gave like a fake name. I wasn't smart enough, I guess, to figure that shit out. But anyway. So, and meeting people in a bar sucked anyway. Like, I don't think there was any quality. I don't think any relationship developed for me out of a bar. I was about to say quality relationship, but I can look back on my relationships pre-sobriety and nothing was a quality relationship. I don't think to this day that I've had a quality relationship. And quality meaning in the sense of that it's equal. And when people say equal, like, you'll hit 50-50. No. You have to give 100% and they have to give 100%. There's no 50, maybe halfway. It's 200% because there's two people. So, in looking back in my relationships, there's always been some sort of skew of percentage, you know, 60-40, or if we're looking at it in 100% error, or like 30-70. But I can't say that I've had like a healthy, legit relationship. I had relationships that were good. Most of my relationships, I can look back and say, were good. I'm somebody that, at least at this point in my life, I look at things in their positive light, because I don't have time for the negative. that's how I used to live, and I'm in a better place, and, you know, doing things that are positive and treating life in a positive way and having negative experiences, having breakups, heartbreak, you know, tears, blood, sweat, whatever, that's all learning. That's all a process that helps you to grow forward. And, you know, I look back on a lot of my relationships, even my most recent one, which was right before I got sober. And we broke up because he called me from the bar and broke up with me on the phone at the bar. And both of us are in the program now. Both of us have gotten sober and have like a couple of years under our belt, and that's awesome. But obviously we're actively supporting each other. But anyway, I didn't want to do this to talk about my sobriety. That's just a side factor. I'm doing this to talk about what it's like dating now and how ridiculous it is. And so this online dating, which I feel like I still don't know what the hell I'm doing. Overly talkative? Do you like not say anything? I'm still trying to figure this girl stuff out. I recently have discovered that apparently by having a vagina, you have the power to like ask for shit and guys will buy and pay for it. Like, what? And I know plenty of people are like, that's been going on for years. Like, how did you not figure that shit out? I don't know if I had like a superiority complex where I just thought that like I was better than that. I don't need anybody. I can take care of myself. But I never used to expect people to pay for me or to take care of things. And I mean people in the sense of like just people, not somebody I'm in a committed relationship in, because that's a little different. It's a different level of expectation. I'm sorry. I just ate at the diner with some people and I'm now like, oh, so full. This is the best feeling ever. I sit and I hear what comes out of my mouth sometimes, and I'm like, what the hell are you doing, woman? Sorry, word vomits. Anyway, so I'm going to start off with actually the first guy I started seeing after I got sober, because that's really when the adventure started, and the my technique that I have adapted of renaming people in my phone. It's my strategy, and I rename them in a way that gives me a little like flag of reminder, being like, hi, remember this shit? So that I am prepared for the conversation I'm about to have when I get like a text or a call. It's usually people that are not in the race for a relationship with me. Usually they've done something in some way, shape, or form that has kind of tarnished what I thought could have been something. And so it's more like a reminder of like, hey, remember this person? They did shit. Remember that? Don't forget about that, because I tend to see the good in people and I want to see the good in people. I want to believe people can make better choices and are trying on a daily basis to better themselves. But the fact is, that is not the case. There are people out there who are just as happy with who they are and whether or not they are thinking of other people or if they're thinking about just themselves. So, you know, it's a tough world out there. You got to put up some barriers. So this is me starting to put up some boundaries of like, don't talk to that person or don't invest time in that person. So today's story is about first dude who, for all intents and purposes, has been named in my phone as alcoholic asshole, which was very appropriate, as in my time with getting to know this person, I came to understand that he was an alcoholic and an active one. And being somebody who is sober, an alcoholic of myself, what the hell was I doing? Like, that's obviously not a healthy place to be at. But, you know, he's, like, cute, and I liked him, and he liked me, and, you know, things were good, sex was good, and that's what matters. No, that is not what matters. Girls will say, you know, sex is good, that's all that matters. that's bullshit. That is somebody who is not looking for a relationship. That is somebody who is not giving, you know, 100% of themselves and looking to become a better person and do something to help another person. That's not what I want. So maybe through this podcast, I will develop a better sense of myself in relationships. And who knows, maybe one day I'll have a relationship. But for now, odds are not in my favor. I have not been selected as tribute. Oh, that's interesting. I might need to use that again. Anyway, so alcoholic asshole, which ironically translates to AA, was a guy I met from Plenty of Fish, which is a free website dating app. It's now on the phone. Free. So you know, it's just like the ocean. There's a lot of fish out there, and not all of them are good. And sometimes you get one, and you're like, I'll settle. And it's very rare that you catch like a prize winning fish, or one that meets all the needs that you want. And I'm now using fish as an analogy to dating, which is kind of sad, but, you know, with Plenty of Fish, that's how you got to roll. You just know the person out there in the ocean, your little boat, and, setting up your fishing rod and hoping that you, attract some fish. So anyway, met him from talking on there. We talked for a little bit, probably like 2 weeks. He seemed like a cool guy. He just moved back up to the area from Florida where he was living for a while. His mother was sick. I forget what she had, but we pretty much had come to the conclusion that she was going to be dying. And he came home to be close to his family. And, you know, I really do admire that. And I think that to a fault, because I gave him a lot more time than I should have. And I'd seen that it wasn't good, but I wasn't. I kept giving him the benefit of the doubt, and that, like, you know, he's in a bad place, he's really struggling, he's going through these things. And, like, if it was me, which is something that I usually do, is go, well, if it was me, how would I want to be treated? I think that's always usually a good process, but in this situation, probably not, because I stuck around much longer than I should have. So we'll start with our first date and meeting. And at the time, I was not quite a year, but just about a year sober. And I had lost my license because I had a DUI. Those are a lot of fun. You should try it. No. And so I wasn't driving. And I was like, well, you'll have to like pick me up if you want to go out. So I was like, oh my God, somebody is willing to come and pick me up. You must really like me. This is mean shit. But whatever. That was how I interpreted life at that point. I was in my late 20s, probably 27, and we went ice skating, and I remember he had like a Jeep. It was like an old beat-up Jeep, but it was cool, and we drove out to this ice rink, and it was like a Saturday night, so like they had music and lights going on, and we go in there, and we get our skates, and like, you know, you get like, I got the girly skates with all the lace crap, and got like this guy skates that look like ice hockey players. And he was like, yeah, I used to play ice hockey. And I was like, shit, I'm so screwed. I don't know if I can even ice skate anymore. I haven't done this in years. I apparently can't. Since then, I've gone ice skating and I've done a much better job. But when you do it and you haven't done it for years, you're like, oh my God, I don't have feet. I don't know how to use these things. Oh, where do you, like, it's just scary. Like, it's a terrifying feeling going back out there and you're like, I don't know how to do this. So I became that girl that I loathed, which was like, I'm just gonna hold onto this wall and inch my way around. Can you pull me? Granted, I didn't talk like that ever. And usually I tell people if I ever do, shoot me. But you know, it was cute. It was a cute first date. It was a solid first date. We had a really good time. We were probably the oldest people there. He probably could have been a father to some of the kids there. We just had a really nice night, and I was like, wow, this guy's actually really cool. I don't think I've had like a date like this in a long time. If that, you know, I felt special and like very wanted and maybe wanted to get to know me and things like that, which is how you should feel on a first date. And I think after we went back to his place, which he was living with some cousins, and they were there like hanging out, and I met the guys, they're cool. We threw some darts, like a fire, and they were drinking. He's like, is it cool if I have a beer? And I'm like, yeah, because I'm very open and honest about that I'm sober and I don't drink. But I was like, you know, just because I don't drink doesn't mean that you don't. And I still live that way. Like, I never want anybody to give up something because I have a problem with it. And I should have seen it as a sign then, but I didn't. I was just like, he's having a good time, whatever. And had a good night and like went home. That was the only date we ever went on. Ever. After that, it became that every time we hung out, he'd come pick me up, drive me back to his place. We'd hang out, watch TV or some movie or something. He'd usually like cook some food, like we'd eat at some point and have sex. And that was it. This is not a relationship. But again, I was like, he's going through a lot and he's gonna lose his mom and this is really emotional. And maybe just by sticking around and doing this enough, eventually be like, oh my God, this girl is amazing and she's been there. And like, I think I love this woman. No, that's stupid. But like a lot of things, you don't see the light until you're out of it, or it's easy to see when it's not you. Another technique or living aspect that I try to do is, would I, excuse me, it's like 1 a.m., I'm tired. Would I recommend doing this to one of my girlfriends if they were telling me everything that happened, or like, I think I'm gonna like just stick around? I probably had said no, like that's stupid, he doesn't appreciate you. But of course I didn't think that way. So this went on for a couple of months, and then there was a period where I finally put my foot down and I was like, I'm not down with this. This isn't what I wanted or signed up for. I thought we were gonna like be dating, like we never go out or anything. Not that I am a girl that needs to be taken out and have money spent on, but I do like to know that I am somebody you want to be seen with. Like, that's kind of important. And okay, this isn't interesting. We have to stop. Okay, now we can drive. Okay, there's always construction. It's always at like the middle of the night, and it's always when I'm driving home. Same time on the same strip of 76. Like, how long are they going to be working on this section? If I was Snapchatting, I would have a video be like, again, this is happening. But at the moment, I don't see any trucks like working. It's just a bunch of cones. So, all right, this looks promising. Maybe I won't get stuck in traffic. But if I do, then maybe this will be a longer block. Podcast. Oh, gotta get used to saying that. Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, for like a couple months, I like didn't see him. And then, you know, he like hit me up and it's like, oh, you know, and he told me about how his mom was doing. So I felt bad. And he was like, you want to hang out? And I was like, all right. And he came pick me up and we started hanging out again for a little bit. And like, I knew that he was not in a good place and it's probably not where I should be. But again, I still felt like, I thought it was empathy, but it was probably just pity. I feel like pity has such a negative term. Like, the person who is feeling pity is so like self-centered, like I'm so much better than you, and that's not me. But I mean, maybe it was, I don't know. So anyway, oh, there's a dude with a flashlight. Okay, cool. Oh, there's the trucks. There's always construction, man, always. Oh, are we slowing down? I don't know, there's nobody on the road. Am I allowed to go? Why are you standing in the street? I can't handle the pressure. Okay, you got a little like thingy telling me to go. I can go. There's all the trucks. Beautiful. Thank you, sir. I'm so glad you were here to advise me that I can drive on the road. Oh, smell. Gross. Oh. Anyway, So I guess like went back here a couple of times, and I remember the last time when I finally was like, that's it. I'm done. Time to regain your spine, Megan, and peace the fuck out. And I went over, and his one roommate, which was his cousin, was like in his room, and I like was sitting there, and I said, is someone smoking pot? And he goes, oh, that's my cousin. Okay. Alcohol was when it was an issue, but so was pot. Like, I was an avid pot smoker. That was definitely an issue for me. And that was a lot more of a struggle for me to like give up, because I loved smoking pot. I loved the fact that I could do something and I would completely feel okay. Like, alcohol, it took a lot of drinks for me to feel good. Pot, that was a pretty quick fix, okay? Like, you didn't need to do so much to get to a point where you felt happy. So for me, I was like, this is slightly uncomfortable. And forget why, but he asked me to get something out of the drawer, or I went over and to look for like a lighter in the drawer to like light a candle or something. I opened the drawer and there was a bowl with a lighter, and it was packed, or like there was a bag of weed next to it. And like I froze, and I was like, are you smoking? And he was like, a little bit. Okay. I was like, this is really uncomfortable. So tried to shrug it off, whatever. I watched him play like a little PS2, I guess, at that time. I have no idea. I don't know what number we're up to now. I feel like I'm losing my train of thought. It's more that I haven't really thought about this entire story in a while, which is another reason why I wanted to talk about these things, because it's healthy to not forget your learning experiences, and this was certainly one. So I was like, okay, and he was still like drinking, and every time I hung out, every time he was drinking. Another section of construction. Hello. Yes, I often like to jackhammer at 1 in the morning. Ugh, never can just drive home without running into construction. So anyway, I had at this point left like sweatpants there to sleep in, because I was staying over whenever, like previously when we were seeing each other more frequently. So I was like, hey, where are my sweatpants that I like left here? And he was like, oh, they're in this area over there. I'm like, okay, cool. So I go and open the drawer and I pull out, and there's like a shirt crumpled up in there, and I'm like, And I pull it out, and it's like one of those tank tops with a shelf bra in it. And it was a size medium. And I held it up and I looked at him and I was like, what's this? And he was like, isn't that yours? Now, because this is a podcast, you can't see me. I haven't been a medium since 6th grade, I think was the last time I maybe wore any mediums. I'm not a fat girl. I mean, if I'm talking to myself, I might say, like, you're fat. We do that as women, but I'm not a fat person. I am not a skinny person. I'm not a petite, delicate flower lady. But, like, you know, I got some meat to me. I got a badonkadonk, and I got a rack, you know, like I got a nice chest. I'm aware of that. So on top of not being petite, I also have boobs that don't fit into a medium anything. They don't even, at the time especially, they didn't fit into any large size clothes. So I was like, I held it up and I was like, how the hell did you think that this was mine? Like, my boobs would not even, like, one boob would maybe fit in the shelf bra. And he was like, oh, yeah, I don't know. Maybe it was like this girl that was stayed over one time. I was like, okay, like, great. Wonderful feeling finding another woman's clothes wrapped up with your clothes. With a guy that you're, at the time, I guess, think you're seeing, but it clearly wasn't. And I remember feeling like really uncomfortable and like getting into bed and like laying there. And one of my friends texted me and she was like, "How are you doing?" And I'm like, "Okay." And she's like, "What's going on?" So I told her, I was like, "I'm currently laying in bed with so-and-so. And there's like a shirt that belongs to another person here from before, I guess, that he thought was mine. And, you know, there's a bowl of pot in the drawer next door and I feel uncomfortable and he's been drinking all night. So obviously I'm in a fabulous place right now." And she was like, "Why are you there?" And I was like, "I don't know. I'm going to leave in the morning." And I knew he had to get up and go to work in the morning. Was like, "You can just stay and chill." So after he got up and left in the morning, I, you know, texted one of my friends in the program, because I do go to AA and do that stuff. It works for me. It's not for everyone. It's my disclaimer. It's an anonymous program, so everybody do your own thing. But I was like, "What are you up to?" And she's like, "I don't know." I'm like, "Do you still want to go to a meeting?" She's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Can you pick me up?" She's like, "Yeah, you at your house?" And I was like, "No, I'm here at this place." And I gave her the address and she came and picked me up. And before she got there, I ended up kind of wandering around and looking for shit, because I was like, let me apparently need more justification that I need to get the fuck out of here. And I opened his closet and there was about 8 to 10 liquor bottles just hiding in his closet. And I was like, this guy is a fucking alcoholic. You are hanging out and sleeping with an alcoholic. What the hell are you doing? And I was like, I need to get the fuck out of here. I'm gonna do something stupid. I'm gonna use or drink. Like, this is not a safe place for me. And she came and picked me up and I never went back. That was the last time I was there. I've talked to him since, but it was the last time that I went back to that house. So that was like the end of the non-relationship that I had with alcoholic asshole. You know, he would hit me up a few times. It's hard, you know, good sex is hard to come by. So sometimes you're like, all right, I'm going to drop my morals for a minute. But, that probably only happened for like a small period. And, God, I have to pee. It's really hard to concentrate when you have to pee. I realized, like I said, I was like, he's an alcoholic. So I changed his number. Well, actually, I blocked his number. I deleted it. And then I got a couple of texts a little bit later, and I was like, "Who's this?" We're like, "Oh, it's blah." And I was like, "Shit. Hey, what's up? You can tell me what's going on." I'm like, "Oh, damn it. Oh, no. I wasn't prepared for this conversation. Oh, no. I started to turn into the nice person that I am instead of being like, yeah, so what do you want? What's up?" So then I saved his number, but I muted it, the conversation, so that I thought, like, oh, I just won't know if he's ever texted me. No, it apparently does still notify you. It just doesn't give you the regular notifications on your screen. So that didn't work out. So then I adapted the renaming technique, which has proven to be very helpful to this point. At this point, I recently had 5 years of sobriety, and which I'm very happy about. And still to this day, alcoholic asshole will text me. And I'm very thankful that I came up with this technique of renaming, because in doing that, I have been able to prepare myself for the exact same conversation that occurs every time. "Hey. Hey. How are you?" "Good. How are you?" "Good. How have you been?" "Good. What are you up to?" "Usually working or, you know, doing this or blah, blah, blah." "Are we ever going to hang out again?" "Probably not." "Remember when we used to have sex?" "Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. It was always really good." "Yep. Mm-hmm." "And then something about how you always made my dick feel so good," or like, blah, blah, because that's what girls want to hear. They want to hear that stuff. That just turns us on.
No, it's like bullshit. And they're like, no, not really. Really? Do you miss me? No, not really. Mm-hmm. And then the conversation would end. And I'd be like, all right, we'll do this again in like 3-4 months. And then he would like randomly text me in 3 or 4 months. So that's the tale of the great alcoholic asshole that started the epic renaming of people in my phone. Anyway, hopefully none of you have had that experience. Hopefully none of you will have that experience. But if anything, hopefully this gave you a few ideas or pointers into some red flags. Or what are some signs that you need to get the fuck out? I'm Megan, and we will meet again at some point to discuss more of these crazy adventures that I go through. Have a good one.